May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Christians believe that God is the creator of everything that is. Everything that exists is held in the hands of God, and Christians believe that where there is hurt or pain or brokenness, God is the force for healing and wholeness. And, you know, so as a result of that, when we are hurting or in pain or aware of others who are, or places in the world where there is hurt and pain and brokenness, we pray. And you can see all the prayers we've been praying the past few weeks, represented by the prayer ribbons tied to the strings around the church. Just a different way for us to make our requests to God. So Christians believe that God is the force for healing and wholeness. And Christians believe that God is love. So, in other words, Christians believe that the power that created the universe, the power that keeps it going, and the power that heals it, is love. Love implies connections. One person alone can't love. There needs to be someone else, or something else. So a universe that is created and sustained and healed by love is one in which all the individual parts are connected to each other and affect each other and need each other. And when the different parts of the creation do not relate to each other in love, then things go wrong, like domestic violence, civil disorder, wars. Now, the story that we heard today in the Gospel was the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'm going to connect these two thoughts eventually together, okay? Bear with me. So the story of the Good Samaritan starts out with the lawyer asking, what do I have to do to get into heaven, to get into God's good graces? And Jesus said, well, it's there in the law. And you're a lawyer, you know the law, don't you? And he does. And he says, the law says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Now, with our understanding that God is the loving force that holds the universe in place, then to love God is to be committed to that force, to that love in our lives. So that's the first part. And the second part of the law is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the law is like a plumb line. Alan was telling me about how he's used a plumb line in the past. A plumb line is basically a string with a weight on the bottom. And if you hold the string out with the weight on the bottom, it will hang straight. And so you can tell if a doorway is straight or crooked, because the plumb line will show you what is straight. And what it does is it reveals the invisible force of gravity that we can't see without that plumb line to show us. Well, the law is like a plumb line. It's simple. The law reveals the invisible force that keeps the universe in existence. It shows us something about the way the world was created, about the way things are, just like a plumb line shows us things about the way the world was created and the way things are. But the lawyer's confused. He thinks that the law is just God's demand on his time and energy. And he wants to negotiate. Well, imagine negotiating with the law of gravity. You know, people do. People do, and they generally fall. I think tightrope walkers are people who are negotiating with the law of gravity, eh? So, and they don't always fall. They manage to negotiate their way across the tightrope. Maybe the lawyer's trying to find the tightrope to walk in who I have to love. So he says, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? In essence, he's asking, who do I not have to love? Because if I know who my neighbors are, then the rest of them I don't have to love. Now, you might have noticed that in the law, you will love the Lord your God, you will love your neighbor as yourself. Love is a verb in that sentence, an action word. It's something you do. It's not a noun. It's not a thing word. It's not something. Love is not a feeling that you have or that you don't have. Love is something you do, no matter how you're feeling. Love is an action word. And Jesus recognized that the lawyer has got it backwards, and so he tells him the story we've all come to know as the parable of the Good Samaritan. The priest who walks by on the other side, the Levite who is from the class of people, the tribe of people in Jewish history from which the priests were drawn, so close to being a priest, he walks by. And the Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were people who had lived in Israel, and when the Babylonians conquered Israel and carried people away into captivity, they carried away the elite, the ruling class. And the people who were left were the ordinary people, the farmers and the workers. And they became the Samaritans. Well, when the elite came back from Babylon, they saw what the way the Samaritans were worshiping, and they said, you haven't got it right. Because when they were off in Babylon, they spent quite a lot of time remembering their religion and trying to get it written. That's when the Psalms were written down, was while they were in exile in Babylon. The people in Samaria just carried on doing what they were doing. And you know, when people are apart and trying to do the same thing, they come together and they find they've remembered slightly different things. Well, the Samaritans said, no, you've been influenced by the Babylonians and you've got it wrong. And the people coming back from exile said, you've been influenced by your neighbors and you've got it wrong. And they sort of behaved like Protestants and Catholics. They kind of said, you're absolutely wrong and I have nothing to do with you. So so a Samaritan was, you know, pretty much an untouchable to a Jew. And the Samaritan came along and he saw the guy lying there and he went and helped. I tried to imagine what it would be like if I was there. Would I stop? Well, I can remember one time I was coming out of the Marlborough Hotel after probably General Synod in 2007 with a couple of friends, and we were parked in the parkade across the street. And it was in the evening after the last session, so probably about 10 o'clock at night or later. And we went into the parkade and walked up the staircase. And at the top of the staircase, there was a man all curled up in the corner, lying on the floor. And my inclination was to just keep right on going. But the gentleman I was with stopped and shook him and said, are you okay? And the guy rolled over and said, I'm just trying to sleep. So then we left him alone and continued on. But I know that I've already had the experience of knowing that I have a tendency to just be afraid. That's what fear it is, that is the opposite of love, fear that kept me moving. Would you stop? Would you get him to the hospital? What if he wasn't covered by Medicare? Would you pay his bills? That's what the Samaritan did. If he was your child, would you? So you might treat your child differently than you would somebody else. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's a tough one when you really start thinking about it. It's really a tough commandment to follow. So then Jesus says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And it becomes clear that Jesus is telling the lawyer, the question is not who is my neighbor or who is not my neighbor. The question is, what do I have to do to be a neighbor? Because being a neighbor is the plumb line of what it takes to be true. God created us to love one another. That's the way he made us. So Jesus' message to the lawyer and to us about the way things are is that we need to love as much or more. We need to love as much or more than the victims need to be loved. So just as much as that man who fell into the hands of robbers and was beaten and stripped of his clothes and left to die, just as much as he needed love, so did the priest, so did the Levite need to love. Because that's how God created the world. That's the way it works, is when we take care of each other. So Jesus said to him and to us, go and do likewise. Amen.